This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, Greg, much to your dismay, I have finally returned to Atlanta after being on a long field trip the last couple of weeks to Northport, Florida. I'm back. No, kidding. Had a great time down there. This is Behind the Braves, the official podcast of the Atlanta Braves. I'm Ricky Mast, Atlanta Braves digital media content manager. Finally rejoined, or I guess I'm finally rejoining him, director of Braves alumni relations, Greg McMichael. Had a great time down at spring training. I always love going down there. I love going down there in January for fantasy camp. And I love getting to go right back down a month later and seeing the big leaguers on those fields where I just saw the fantasy campers a couple weeks prior. So had a couple of great episodes of this podcast while we were down there. Had Mike Dunn, who's does a great job. He's a, I would say, a Braves lifer at this point. Sure. I mean, he's been the organization over 30 years, I think 32 now. So it's great to meet with him and then to hear in detail just the recovery that complex had to go through to get ready for A, your fantasy camp, but then B, for spring training. So, and everything looks great. I mean, I'll tell you this, you know, all the signs and stuff that were still kind of blown over and hadn't been fixed in fantasy camp. My first week down in Northport, it was like the last day before I think players had to officially report, man. And those trucks rolled in with all these new signs and they were right up to the last minute getting everything put back together. And it was kudos to them. It was a hell of an undertaking for them to get that done.
I saw on TV and it looked like nothing had even happened. You know, when we were down there, obviously there were still some signs, even though the place was immaculate. Just, you know, if that's all I had to worry about were signs, you're probably in good shape for that. But yeah, I'm so impressed with Mike and Christina and the whole staff down there with all the things that they've had to endure. They have not had a smooth spring training yet. There's always been something going on. And I just hope next year that they just have this nice, easy winter and they get ready. But man, spring training is just such a great time of the year and brings back so many good memories for me. And just being out there in Florida and feeling the humidity again and a little bit of heat and coming out of just, you know, winter. So, man, I wish I could go back down to spring training and hang out for a little bit. But, boy, we've got so much good stuff going on here in Atlanta. It's just really difficult to get down there. But I'm glad you got to experience a little bit of it.
Yeah, I had a great time. So we have, just to run you through a little bit for folks listening, how it works for us in spring training in the marketing department. Every year we have what's called the car wash, and that is where we set up multiple sets, essentially photography, videography, and pretty much the whole marketing department goes down. We've got our video crews down there. We've got Kevin Lyles and Matthew Grimes. Our photographers are there. And there's in this car wash, there's just stations, essentially. And we bring all the players in and go station to station. And they do, okay, here's the first video set, hype shoot, where they're doing some kind of stuff that you'll see on TV commercials. You'll see some of it on Bally and their kind of graphics packages or intro and outro packages, whatever you want to call. All the team portraits that Kevin and Matthew take, those are all done in spring training at this car wash. And then this year I got my crew, me and Victoria and Becca from the social media side. We carved out a few minutes with each player to do some social media stuff. We actually did it out in the bullpen, the visitors bullpen, which was fun. So you'll see, Greg, I'm holding a baseball here and you've noticed it's been used, got a couple scuff marks. See how they're blue?
Oh yeah.
See how my shoes are blue?
Wow, you got drilled.
So we were in the visitor's dugout with Mike Soroka, and he's sitting on the bench looking out towards the field. And we had the camera or the phone, really, because it's social media, TikTok stuff, just a simple phone shoot aimed towards him. And he's beginning to answer questions. And it's my ninth season. And whenever we hire somebody new or we bring somebody onto my team or I'm advising somebody that's in the ballpark for the first time, my number one rule is head on a swivel. Don't get hit. Don't, just whatever you do, don't get hit by the ball. And what did dumb old 9 years in the big league me do? Had my back straight to the field during BP. And this thing, I got lucky, honestly.
Alan Grissom, he let one rip and missed the first baseman.
I don't.
Just been aiming for you.
No. Hey, we'll get to that. Vaughn's look good at shortstop. He really has. Good. He's looking very. He's making all the plays you got to make. So I think his chances for shortstop are good.
Based on what you guys do now, let me give the audience a little bit of an analogy.
Okay.
All right. So 20 years ago, when you went to get your car washed, you'd put 50 cents in or a quarter in the machine and grab that wand and spray it down yourself. Uh-huh. Well, now you guys are like a full detail body shop where you're at there. You got the buffers and, you know, the really nice silicone wax, and you're treating these guys like it's a full detail shop. Whereas we had the little wands with 50 cents watching our car. We stand there, and the photographer would come through and take a picture of us, and that was it. It lasted about 15 minutes. Now you got a full scale. I mean, you guys are doing a lot of cool things.
Yeah. Well, and you know what? Kudos to all the players. But I mean, same with you guys, even if it was less time, still that's something. You're there to do a job and to do work, and then you got to go get dressed up and look pretty, look nice and smile.
No, there was none of that.
Well, I was being courteous. So, but there had to have been at least one good looking guy on your team.
I think the only time it was good was when they took action shots for baseball cards, but they take those during the games while you're playing. But when you had to stand there and smile, and it's, you know, 7 o'clock in the morning, that didn't turn out very well.
Yeah. I'll tell you, those two, the coaches, some of the coaches want to start. They like to get theirs done at like 6. So
wow.
We get down there and it's a blast. It's a lot of work, but man, it's like, we're always appreciative to be there. It's fun. You're on your feet all day. We're there before the sun is up, ready to go, music blaring. Like, we try to customize it to where whatever players are coming through, we try to put their kind of music on. Nice. Based on their walk-up music.
Hey, we didn't have walk-up music, so that's right. How far it goes back when I was back. So there was no hype videos or anything like that.
You never had like a specific walk entrance song when you were pitching? So that is a...
That started just about towards around 2000.
Okay.
So like, there wasn't a whole lot. Now, at least it with the Braves, maybe because Bobby didn't like that stuff. But we went to other, I think I remember the Indians were the first ones to kind of, because they had just an unbelievable sound system, new stadium, all that. But the sound systems weren't that great to where it would even matter if you did have a big, you know, hype song coming in for you or your walk-up music. But I just don't remember that being a whole lot, because even Chipper, you know, with Ozzy Osbourne song, that didn't happen until later.
Right. I remember coming to a game in 2003, and I think the Chipper and Crazy Train thing had already, I think it was already happening. I'm pretty sure I've got his book back here on my shelf. I think he mentions in there when it started. I'll have to go back and look.
We moved to Turner Field, late 90s. Right. That's when the sound system was better. The video was better.
Right.
You know, there was a lot of things that started to change in some of the newer ballparks.
I'm going to, and forgive me, we've been doing the show 5 years, so I may have asked you this at some point in the last 5 years and I don't remember, but well, let me guess. And then I'll ask if you could have chosen entrance music, I'm going to guess you'd have gone. You're like me. You're a rock and roll guy. You're a classic rock guy. Mm-hmm. I know I've heard you talk about Van Halen. I'm going to guess you'd have something Van Halen like. Let's see. And if it's Van Halen, what would you choose?
I mean,
Halen, right?
First, I mean, yeah. I maybe mean, it's like some of the great entrances, like Jamie's Crying, and some of those were, you know, really good. I mean, it's hard to get away from some of the just beginning of songs, some of the AC/DC songs.
Yeah.
You know, some of that kind of stuff. But yeah, I don't know if it's always about how great the song is, but sometimes you just got a small clip. So I think a lot of that, how the song starts, there's a few, you know, Sandman with Metallica, some of those that people recognize that kind of get you fired up. I know Smoltzy had to end up having an AC/DC song.
Thunderstruck, and that's just one of the best entrance music for any.
Yeah.
Him, football team, a wrestler, whoever, Thunderstruck is.
Hell's Bells with, you know, the Padres.
Trevor Hoffman.
And when they had Trevor Hoffman, I mean, that one was just as good as any of them.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
AC/DC has like 10 that are like, just the beginning alone is like, it's good. You're right about that. It's not as much about the song itself as it is the intro, I think. Mm-hmm. That's why mine would be For Whom the Bell Tolls.
Well, think about Smoke on the Water.
Yeah.
And that song overall, I don't think is that great, but the beginning of it, that's one of the great guitar riffs of all times.
Oh, yeah.
Right. But the whole song in general kind of goes downhill after the beginning of the song.
I know. When I was growing up and first heard Smoke on the Water, never really thought too much or cared about what the lyrics were. And then as I got older, I read them. I'm like, so this is literally just, they're telling a story about a fire while they were recording. It's just a fire happened out there on the water. And that's just what it is. So,
simple, some of the rock songs.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
It's always been that way.
Yeah.
Even with Elvis.
So you think, so probably AC/DC, something classic rock would have been.
Oh yeah, there's a bunch of them that we could.
Okay. But that's cool. Well, that was when we're on the car wash shoot, we would play, we'd say, okay, we're getting, whoever, Ozzy. What's Ozzy's walk-up music or what some of the artists he likes to listen to? So you crank that up. And then Charlie Morton's coming in next. So now it's Jason Isbell's playing. And here comes Ian Anderson. All right, put on the Stones, like that kind of thing. So which is kind of fun. And you hear a little bit of everything. And actually, the car wash, the last few years, how we've done it. If you've ever been to our spring training complex in Cool Today Park, or even if you haven't, there is a space directly, I mean, dead center field. So batter's eye, underneath the batter's eye, essentially. There's a gate right there. And if you go through that gate, immediately to the left is basically a large area where I think throughout the year, the staff down there store like golf carts and they're like, what are the John Deere, like gators, those things, and just some equipment that stays there. So that all gets moved out for when Braves marketing shows up for the week. And that entire space gets wrapped in black tarp. So it's closed off and it's dark as night in there, unless when you turn on lights, obviously, with your set lights and everything. And that gets turned into basically a movie set or a TV set for a week.
Wow.
And everything happens in there. And so it's a lot of fun. And then the marketing crew, we try to go out and eat dinner together every night while we're all there. Adam Zimmerman, Greg Mize, and Crystal Digby always put together at least one really nice meal for everybody. I think we had 20 of us one night. Nice. Braves marketing, Braves vision. Went to Finn's at Sharky's. Oh,
okay.
Yeah. So upstairs at Sharky's. We're in the last stages of the shedding for the wedding diet for me. John Moses was sitting directly across from me at dinner and he got the big giant steak and potatoes that I wanted to get. Mm-hmm. But my swordfish and sprouts were actually very good. That restaurant never misses. It's good. But yeah, really great time down there. And the car wash was fun. And we've just got a group of really, really good dudes. Everybody was easy to work with. And like we literally got everybody and everybody was cool, friendly. No, we didn't get big league by anybody. We didn't have any divas.
Yeah.
It was very, very pleasant, very nice. So, which is nice if you can say that. Yeah. It
everybody's professional. It gets your job done.
It helps a lot.
We're doing our job. You do your job.
Yeah. And I think it's easy. Fans or us or anybody, you don't know a guy, but you see them from afar. You see how they are on TV or interviews or whatever. And you could get some preconceived notions or think, I wonder if that guy's hard to work with or if he's a little much of a diva or whatever. And we didn't encounter a bit of that spring training. I think what Alex and crew, like they talk about all the time, they care about bringing in people that fit well here and the chemistry and that they're good people in the clubhouse. And I think you get to spend a little bit of time around these guys. And that's how we felt when I got hit by the baseball. So I got lucky. Speaking of shedding for the wedding, the last thing I need a couple weeks before my wedding is get hit in the head with a baseball. So yeah, I got lucky. It hit off the back of my shoe. Didn't bruise or anything. At first, it kind of
said, look out.
Nobody saw it coming. There's video of it that we'll never share. There's video of, because video was on Soroka and he reacts to it. And he, I'll tell you, he just kind of goes, it hits me and he goes, oh, he does like that. And then he's like all shocked and he goes, that's a homer. So thankfully it stung a little bit first. I'm like, daggone, I'm gonna be hobbling around here the rest of the week, but it was fine. So all's well that ends well.
That's good.
But yeah, it's great to be back. I'm trying to think of a way not to make this sound totally obvious and dumb, but while I was in camp and walking around the complex and watching guys take BP and like watching Vaughn take grounders at short and working with Wash, and watching all the infielders work with Wash and EY and everybody, watching the catchers work with Sal. This is going to sound really obvious, but maybe every now and then it's good to just give ourselves a reminder. We have a really, really good team. Mm-hmm. I mean, this lineup, I was sitting there just watching these guys. I'm going, if you're facing this team, you've got Matt Olson is just, I mean, just like the man on fire gif that you see now, like, or that's him right now. He's hitting everything. And he looks, not that I know him like personally or anything aside from working with him a couple of times, But this camp, he looks and seems like he's at home, and he's definitely one of the guys, and just you can tell he's more comfortable. And you think about it, last year we came out of the lockout, and then he gets traded, what, I don't know, 3, 4 days, 5 days later.
Yeah.
Flies across the country, shows up at the camp, then signs this massive extension. And this all happens within a day or two after the strange lockout thing and the quick turnaround at the end of it. And he still had a great season. But I think he's, I mean, I think he's MVP contender this year. I really do.
I think it's really fascinating when you see a guy. Obviously, he had a really good track record, and he was pretty consistent. His numbers pretty much were the same last year as they were the years prior. But he was always playing in Oakland, you know, and we've talked about Oakland before. It's tough. And he's an East Coast guy. He's playing on the West Coast. And Oakland, you know, there's nobody in the stands. It's a tough place to hit. It's not that warm. It's windy. It's cold. And there's a lot of different things. But for him to have this basically the same year he's typically had for us after what you just described, all the things that were going on, you just never know. I mean, I would have expected a dip, you know, with the heavy transition. Then you're coming back. There's a lot of pressure here at home. So I think that this could be a great year for him now that he weathered that storm of all that transition last year, being on a new team with new philosophy and with, you know, new players and all that kind of stuff. I'm not surprised he's doing really well. So I'm hoping that, man, this is just a huge year for him. He takes it to the next level. I do want to say something about the whole infield and how Wash kind of works with these guys. I think it's really easy, or I should say not easy, but it's easier when you have an established routine. He's been working with Austin. He's been working with Ozzy. He's been working with, you know, Arcia. He's been working with Matt Olson for now a year. For a young kid to come in and get plugged into that system, he already did some work over the winter and then last year, but there's a system in place. All the work that Dansby did, and you think about all the work that Wash has been doing, his is pretty, pretty amazing. These guys all, you know, they buy into it. So I think it's really going to be beneficial for a kid like Vaughn that comes in, and now he just plugs into that. If you had four new people, if you had all four young kids and they're trying to do it, and now Wash is trying to get everybody to buy in at the same time, but he's already got veterans bought into it. So I think it's going to be really good. I'm not surprised that he's doing well. I think it's probably going to help him grow exponentially as a fielder because he already has great examples around him.
Oh, absolutely. That segues perfectly into, so we touched on Vaughn, and I wanted to talk about him a little bit. For me, this is how I view Vaughn this year. I mean, let's just, right now, the way it's looking, it's his job to lose. I think RC will be backup infielder. It'll be Vaughn's job to lose. We still got a month to go, so who knows, but that's the way I see it. And this is how I view Vaughn this year. Our lineup is stacked. Everybody's healthy. It's as good as anybody's. So what do I want to see out of Vaughn? Whatever he does at the plate this year, I'm okay with. That doesn't matter. I want to see him make the plays at short because that to me is the number one, and that is the most important thing. Mm-hmm. I was actually this morning. I was at the gym on the exercise bike, and I'm always listening to just loud music in my headphones. For whatever reason today, my motivation or what got me fired up today was I actually went back and was watching clips and highlights from the 2021 NLCS. And we all remember the big moments, the Rosario home run, Matzik striking out, like the walk-offs in games 1-2. You remember those moments. But I was watching more extended highlights, and I had kind of forgotten how many crucial plays our infield made throughout, not just that series, but throughout, I mean, like they always do.
Yeah.
But in a crucial series like that, sometimes you think about the bigger moments, the go-ahead home run and all that. But I'd forgotten Austin made that incredible play, got the ball out just in time, and then Freddie made the incredible scoop at first. Like, and that was what that's what got me thinking about Vaughn. And, you know, that's the most important thing for him. Now, I will say this, Wash, he went and worked with Wash, I think, 3 weeks in New Orleans in the offseason. Wash says he's ready, and I take Wash at his word. But to me, that's the most important thing is he didn't have to go out there and be Ozzie Smith or anything like that, but can you make the routine plays and fit in with that infield? I think that's the number one most important thing.
Yeah, and it's going to be tough because Dansby made so many things look easy. Ozzy gets to a lot of stuff, you know, but still, I think the work that Dansby did day in and day out, at least over the last few years, he made a lot of things. He made a lot of good plays. But there again, all you can expect from a young kid is that if you can just make the routine plays and every now and then you make a spectacular one, that's fine. He's probably gifted enough to whether, you know, allow him to do that. But as a pitcher, when I look back at guys like Jeff Blauser, who wasn't as gifted as some of the guys that we had, you know, Rafael Furcal and some of these other guys. But Jeff just made the routine plays. Mark Lemke wasn't the greatest second baseman that ever played for us. Marcus Giles, probably talent-wise, was better. But Lemmer always made the routine plays. And together, anything up the middle, that's all you can expect. If you need a double, if the double play is supposed to be turned, it's turned. If the ground ball, he comes in, you know, he may make a routine coming in on a ball, you got to make it, you know. But what kills you, and I know this because I played with, you know, when I was playing with the Mets and I had Ray Ordonez at shortstop, Ray was a human highlight reel. But you always couldn't count on the double play being turned. You couldn't count on the ones that you really needed. Sometimes they got missed. And it's like, just make the routine. I don't need the spectacular, right? But make the routine. And so I think it just gives your pitching staff confidence when you know you've got somebody out there that's just going to make the right plays. And then, yeah, if you make a highlight reel every now and then, that's great, but you don't have to.
Well, sticking with the infield, I think another big thing for this year's team is a healthy Ozzie Albies. You know, he was out most of the year last year, and you know he's itching to get back. And I don't know that there's anybody that on that team that works as hard as he does. And I think it's been cool to see Ozzie kind of – I'm not in the clubhouse, so this is me kind of on the outside looking in. But also just what I hear, things you pick up, whatever, just being around the team a little bit. I think he has kind of matured into – and is embracing definitely a leadership type role with this team. I think, and maybe he's kind of a leader for some of the Latin guys on the team. Whereas you got guys like Travis that are maybe leaders. I mean, I would assume you have multiple leaders like that, or guys that are kind of leaders on a team. I mean, sometimes there's one guy that everybody looks to. I mean, I think Freddie had kind of definitely taken that role towards the end of his time here. But Ozzie, a healthy Ozzie back, hungry, ready to return to form. I think that's going to be huge for this team. I mentioned that Matt Olson, I think, is very much in the MVP talk for this year. Austin Riley is going to win an MVP at some point. I think he's going to have it's going to be like a Chipper or Freddie where he's in the conversation every year. He gets some votes. So he's somewhere in the top 10 every year. One of these years, the stars are going to align and he's going to win one before it's all said and done. He's just that good. So there's your infield. And then you take into account, I think by all prognosticators, projections, the Braves have the best catching duo in the majors. You show me a better catching duo than Sean Murphy and Travis d'Arnaud, you can't. It doesn't exist right now.
No, you have two all-stars.
I think Sean will see most of the – probably catch a little bit more.
Yeah.
But I think whoever's catching, the other one's probably going to DH most of the time. So – that's great. Outfield, again, I think maybe Acuna came back last year, but I think from what he said and from what it looks like in camp, even though he was back last year, I think this is the first time since his injury in 2021 where he truly is 100% healed. I'm not an expert in all this knee stuff. I know my sister, who's an athletic trainer, is, and she also happened to tear up her knee about a year and a half ago. And granted, this is completely different. I mean, this is a pro baseball player and somebody that's not a professional athlete. But just in watching the recovery and how long it truly takes you to get back to 100%, there's a difference in, you know, you're walking around, you look fine, feel like you can do a lot of things you used to do, but you're still not 100%. That takes time. Yeah. So him being back to 100% is great. Michael Harris II is rookie of the year. Chipper, who's in camp right now, I think said the other day he's a superstar. No ifs, ands, and buts about it. It'll be fun to watch him in his first full year. And then here's another big key, I think. Left field is if Eddie Rosario, and he's looking pretty good in camp so far, or at least the reports I've heard, he's looked pretty good. You remember last year he had the vision problems. And by the time he finally got that fixed, I mean, we were already pretty far into the year. And, you know, it's hard, dude, to come back from that.
Difficult.
So if he's kind of back to form or close to it, Where's the hole in the lineup? And if Vaughn has struggles at the plate, again, I don't care. As long as he's making the plays he needs to make it short, I'm good with that. Bullpen is stacked again. Rotation, the only thing that's up for grabs is the fifth starter spot. Right now, it's probably Ian Anderson. I think it's down to him and Bryce Elder. Allard's looked okay, but I think it's been it'll be Elder, or I think it'll be Ian Anderson or Bryce Elder. So all that to say.
Yeah, we just, you know, it's some of that has to do with health.
Yeah.
You know, when you think about Kyle Wright, you know, he had some shoulder issues early on. Hopefully that's, I haven't heard any updates on that, but he, you know, they were looking at, is he going to be ready for opening day or for the first time around when they start pitching? Yeah. And then, you know, Soroka's already out again. So you're not really sure what that means. He's had just a string of bad luck and just sometimes that happens.
Yeah.
But everything looks great on paper, right? Spring training's easy. You're not pushing the body a whole lot. You're kind of ramping up. But I don't, like you said, I don't see any holes for us. Now, time will tell, right?
Sure.
You probably couldn't imagine some of the things that happened last year, that Ozzie was going to break his foot and that, you know, Ronald wasn't going to bounce back. And, you know, the thing about Ronald, too, is that when you're a young kid and you've just been playing baseball your whole life and you really not had any significant injuries, sometimes you don't know how that person is going to react to a significant injury. So he probably didn't know how, you know, whether how it was going to feel. And now all of a sudden there's some doubt in your mind that you, oh, wow, I can get hurt because I've never really been hurt before. As opposed to the guy who's hurt all the time, kind of, then you kind of expect it, or, you know, maybe you know how to handle coming back from that. So I'm hoping that this will be a great, great bounce back for year for him, too, because he clearly wasn't himself. You never knew if he was going to be in the lineup one day from the next. And then his knee was sore. And then you could see him kind of holding up on some things. So, yeah, hopefully those kind of things will kind of wash themselves out for this year. And I don't know. I don't know. The expectations for us are probably as great as they've ever been.
Yep.
Just because this team on paper looks unbelievable. And they have a proven track record of winning games over the last few years. And so there's no reason why we shouldn't have a high expectations for them. Everybody looks good, relatively healthy, and we've gotten players back. We've added pieces. So I don't know. I'm ready to start tomorrow, even though it's only March 7th.
Me and you both. Me and you both. Well, I'm going to I get married on the 18th, and then I peace out on a honeymoon for a little bit. We get back on March 28th. I'm back in the office March 29th, and opening day is the 30th.
Wow. So I'm playing that well.
It's going to be here it's going to be here before we know it. So, or before I know it. Yeah. So really, really exciting. I'm ready. Let's go to DC and start this thing right now. That's where I'm at too. WBC will be fun over the next couple of weeks, but I'm ready for opening day. So,
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Well, real quick before we sign off here, I know I've been very busy at work getting stuff ready for the season and all kinds of different things we have going on. I know you have been too. So I was up for one night last weekend at the HBCU Classic presented by Truist. And I know you've got some stuff going on this weekend. You're taking another trip this weekend. So why don't you fill us in on what you've been up to and your staff?
Yeah, this will be my first full year of heading up Growing the Game Initiative for the Braves, as well as my alumni duties and all the things that we have going on there. Real excited about this year, from RBI during the summer to our showcases, Native American Showcase, which will be at the end of June, and 4-4 Classic, which will be in the fall, to all the kids camps that we've got coming up. We'll have 48 baseball and softball clinics around Atlanta, which is just amazing. So we went from 3 clinics to 24 to now 48. Real excited about what's happening there. And that'll be soon. We'll be out in the marketplace selling that. You can sign up for that at braves.com/growing the game. And then with our Braves Country Battles that are now in full swing. So we've got our travel ball tournaments and baseball and softball. That's happening now. So we just have a lot of things in the amateur sports space. The Braves are really behind us growing the game of baseball, growing the game of softball. Real excited about that. We're getting a ton of support on how we can help Atlanta and the Southeast, which is our footprint, get better, you know, at playing those games and having more kids out there enjoying the sports, learning from baseball, learning from softball. There's so many things that the sport of baseball and softball offer young kids, not only just getting them away from the screen, right? The phone screen, the TV screen, getting them out there doing things that are healthy, but, you know, it's teaching them sports is a lot like life, you know, how to persevere, how to manage defeat or disappointment, how to embrace success. What does it look like to achieve success? How do you work hard to get better and hone your skills on the baseball field, on the softball field? So all those things that, you know, sports allow you to grow as an individual. I'm real excited to be heading that up. And it's a lot of work. There's a lot of things, a lot of moving pieces, but I've got a great team. JB and Doug are helping me with that. And we're just having a good time. It'll be a lot this year trying to get that done. We're doing a lot up in Cherokee. We got a clinic this weekend where we're working with some young people, baseball and softball, helping them get better, prepare for the season. And then we'll be back here in full swing, ready for the start of the season. And of course, all the alumni stuff, Alumni Sunday, Alumni Weekend, we're doing speaking engagements and meet and greets and suite appearances, all that stuff we're scheduling as well. So it'll be a full year. And we're up for the challenge, and we can't wait for it to all get going.
Amen to that. Well, I can tell you, everybody here in this office is doing everything we can to get ready for the season, but also to make sure that everybody that comes out to a game at Truist Park this season has a great time. If you haven't seen, I think this news just came out yesterday. Come March 17th. We will not be selling any more season tickets for this season, which is a pretty incredible feat for this team.
You waited too long.
Well, you still got 10 days.
Oh, that's right.
You still
that's
got 10 right. days. But the idea there, of course, is to keep some tickets open for folks like when I didn't live in Georgia. Every year I would come for a weekend of Braves games. And that was my annual trek with two or three, one weekend every year. And so it's kind of to ensure that people, or if you do live around here, but you're only able to or can only come a couple games a year, it ensures that those fans still have the opportunity.
That's great.
It's a really, really great thing that's happening.
Well, we are a destination.
We are.
So we want people to come experience the Battery, experience the Braves game. And of course, we have a lot of people in the amateur sports market who come in to play baseball games. They come in to play softball games, and they come to the ballpark, and they do the little parades around the field, and they come to our clinics, and we give them, you know, ticket offers and stuff like that. So yeah, that's important.
Yeah. And here's how you know I'm not just selling something. I actually do believe that this is a destination. I've mentioned a couple times my wedding coming up next weekend. Everybody that's coming into town for me, and there's I think altogether is probably 35, 40 hotel rooms that are being booked. All are in the hotels here in the Battery, whether it's Omni, Aloft, DoubleTree, all the hotels around here. Friday night, we're all going to be here at the Chop House having a welcome night before dinner. My parents and a couple best men that are coming in a little early that week. We got dinner plans every night here in the Battery. I mean, we're kind of
nice.
It's we're showing people from out of town a nice time, and we're pretty much able to do it all right here. Mm-hmm. So that is my personal life, and I believe in it that much. So that's what everybody that's coming here, I want them to come experience where we work at and hang out every day. And so I think that's very much what we've built here. And we talked about it a lot last year, and it's going to be the same this year. Every night at the ballpark, doesn't matter what day of the week, who we're playing, anything, you're going to have a big crowd with a lot of energy. And doing that 81 times in a year is extremely hard. And that's what we've got right here now. So if you can't buy, you can't become an A-list member. Well, you still can. You got 10 days. But if you can, or you're not locally here or live here, but still like to come to Braves games, you'll still have that opportunity here. So
that's great.
It's going to be another great year on the field for fans, all of us. It's going to be a good time. So
can't wait.
All right. Well, this has been good. It's been good to see you again. We've both been gone.
Thought you started another podcast called a travel podcast.
it's a new podcast called Beyond the Braves. There you go. All right. For Craig McMichael, I'm Ricky Mast. We'll see you next week.